Let's move on to our next passage, which is Hebrews chapter 7, 23 through 28. It is the Revised Common Lectionary passage for October the 24th. Marty, would you read it for us, please?
Yes. Furthermore, the former priests were many in number because they were prevented by death from continuing in office. But he holds his priesthood permanently because he continues forever. Consequently, he is able for all time to save those who approach God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. For it was fitting that we should have such a high priest, holy, blameless, undefiled, separated from sinners, and exalted above the heavens. Unlike the other high priests, he has no need to offer sacrifices day after day, first for his own sins and then for those of the people. This he did once for all when he offered himself. For the law appoints as high priests those who are subject to weakness, but the word of the oath, which came later than the law, appoints a son who has been made perfect forever.
That's a good word. So among high priests, Jesus is the goat. He's the greatest of all time. In other words, we might say the lamb is the goat. So you've been talking about this great high priestly ministry. Let's continue to lean in and think about the ongoing nature of his high priestly ministry in the here and now. Why does it matter that he is our high priest in the mundane daily rhythms of our lives?
Yeah, such a great, great question. The whole nature, I just, when I saw the greatest of all time, it's like, in some senses, he's above what can even be measured in time. If you put him in the same category, you almost miss the yes. profundity that is there. But we'll go with it. Greatest of all time. So this high priest is still in action. He's not one of those who came and went like so many TV shows that we love. Why couldn't there be another season or two of that? Nope, this season just keeps on going. And this high priest is one who understands the whole nature, not only of our individual lives, he understands the whole cosmos, the universe. He understands our world and it's being fractured. He is a high priest who sees the whole and he has the intimate knowledge of each aspect of our lives. That's a pretty amazing thing. These limited insight people who went through what they were commanded could have nowhere near the capacity as the creator and sustainer, the one who understands the future and finality of our world and the whole universe. That one is the one we're talking about as our high priest. Now talk about somebody who doesn't just come as a doctor who happens to specialize in cancer or brain tumors, who knows part but has to call another specialist. This high priest, he knows all of us in every aspect of our being, all of our parts, and the way the whole of it works together. And he's on call every day, every minute. He's available at all times. And the very nature of what he's able to do is to bring us to an awareness of what has already been done for us. The intercession that he provides is to bring the life of the Father who sent him, the one, you know, when we say John 3:16, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. That's the Father who sends the Son, and he brings us to a knowledge of that one as a high priest. And this whole idea that the high priest brings us to a knowledge of God, many people think that God is to be, we should be afraid of God, not a fear reverence of God. And so this high priest comes and brings mercy and grace to us. He's able to save us, to reorient our point of view. Now, when we look out the window and we look at our bodies, we go temporary, threatened by age and by people who may not like me. And our point of view is one that is going to be oriented towards fear. But the point of view of this high priest is you are loved. I am here to prove it, to show it, and I will bring you into an experience of it. I will allow you to lay aside the dishonesty of all the ways that you try and perform for God and for other Christians so that they think you're good enough. I'm going to just get rid of all that so that you can be congruent with who you are inside and say, I'm tired today and I feel incapable of doing this, and say, got it. I'm here for you. And so this high priest has the ability to restore our image of who we are as beloved of God. He restores our relationship, gives us the ability to see others as this high priest shows us others and what it looks like to forgive them as well. And as a high priest, he brings us into the conversation of hearing and knowing his Father, of knowing that his bread and wine that he offered is an invitation to a life together. And this high priest, even there at the table, was saying, this is going to go on and on, that you're always going to remember. And if you put a hyphen between re and member, I'm going to remember you, yes, make you members again as your high priest, so that my permanence isn't just that I'm not just the garbage man who comes and picks up your garbage at the end of the day. I am the one who facilitates the conversation that gives you life, that keeps you connected. I was a wrestler a long time ago, and if your ear gets hit as a wrestler, you get something called cauliflower ear, because the cartilage gets separated from the skin and it fills up with fluid, and that disconnection means that it starts to fall apart. And so Jesus is the one who allows that which has fallen apart to be reconnected in such a way that there is a permanent wholeness. He removes all that gets in the way, restores us to the holy, blameless life that only he can give to us, not by us performing well for God, but because he, in our place, on our behalf, is the one who in every daily rhythm of our life sees, embraces, acknowledges what is amiss and makes it well. I always say people are so afraid of conflict. And I say, you know what, if you run to conflict, assuming that each of you is doing the best you can, and if you say, here's what I'm doing, and I just don't understand yet what you're about, if you can just get the honesty of each person out there, get that new point of view, hear each other's heart, conflict just becomes two good people who are trying to figure out how to make it, who are given the honest place to really hear and know one another. And Jesus, as the high priest, says, run to the cross. That's where I have dealt with it. I, as a loving God, have called you to come and lay all your stuff down. And I am going to meet you there as the greatest high priest of all time and say, I see you. I hear you. I got you. Done.
Wrestler, chef, songwriter, theologian, scholar, teacher. Come on, Marty. Is there anything you can't do?
I'm not very good at downhill skiing. I do cross country, but I've never gotten on a pair of downhill skis.
You've been an active man. I'm glad I have never had cauliflower ear. But as we think about Jesus as high priest, this is the third question I've asked you about it. And yet we haven't plumbed the depths yet. And isn't that the beauty of God, that he is truly a mystery, but mystery doesn't mean he's unknowable. It just means he's endlessly knowable, that we continue to experience the depths of his goodness toward us. Verse 25 tells us he is able for all time to save those who approach God through him. So Marty, does this mean he can't or won't save those who don't approach God through him?
Yeah, that's a great question. Isn't that bringing up just all of our fear? Don't we just go, what about me? Maybe I'm the one who's not good enough. Maybe I'm not approaching him right. And the minute we go to that place of being afraid that we aren't doing it right, we have just taken the step away from him. So to say he is able, not only is he able, he is actual. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son is to say God has done what is necessary for humanity to be restored to himself through his son, Jesus Christ. And by his spirit, he awakens us to the reality of what it looks like to live within that which is actual. So one of the things that we should be able to say to anyone at any time, I know that God absolutely loves you to death. I know that he loves you so much that he has given all, not that just that he would give all, as though there's some condition to be met. This Jesus, this high priest, this one came from eternity and he knows you. And so when people sometimes ask, you know, when were you saved? You know, when do you know that you finally broke through there when you got the right key to get into heaven? The answer I really like to give here is, you know, I was saved in eternity in the heart of the Father when he looked down the corridors of time and said, Marty, you, my son, for you, I give my love. I was saved in history as Jesus hung on the cross, as he lived his life, death, and resurrection. And he says to me on that cross, for you, Marty, for you, I take away all that which stands between you and my Father. For you this day, I remove all, that you would die to all that that stands in the way, and that you would live in me, saved as my brother. And I was saved when the Holy Spirit brought me into the story, when I went to a Young Life meeting, and I got to know people who loved me with Jesus' love. And it became my response to recognize he has done this in eternity, in history, and in my story, then it became something. But if I say I was saved the day that I made a commitment to Jesus, I would be like missing the whole of what Jesus' high priesthood is about. And that is to open up the eternal life of God in the history of humanity that becomes pertinent and active as we live into what it is that he opens up for us. And so the whole nature then of what people get afraid of is, are you saying then that God's loved everybody? Are you a universalist? It's like, no, there are five warning sections in the book of Hebrews that say, you know what? You can drift away, walk away, slide away. There's all kinds of ways that you can forget the actuality, not just the potentiality that if you did it right, that God would love you, but it's possible to get so focused on the distracting things of this world that you forget the one who's loved you. And so what do? For one another, we remind one another. We listen to Jesus together. We come to worship to find worth and value in the one who's loved us so that all of our orientation is that we are living in the light of the one who's loved us and not losing the reality. And so to say losing the reality means all of the things that people do that walk away from Jesus are just walking into the falseness that is presented. I love C.S. Lewis's The Great Divorce, where people get on the bus in hell and go to heaven, where it's really, really real. And at the end of the day, they get on the bus and go back to the shallowness, the unreality of hell, because in a sense, they've chosen the comfort of their own control of their own lives. And so they'd rather live with the emptiness of unreality than live with the richness of the reality of all that God is and has for us. And so Jesus is the one who opens up the very gates of heaven, not just when we die, but every single day. He is the one for all who is able to be the particular God who deals with us as particular person in the light of having loved all of us. And so any person that we meet, we should be gospel people in all of who we are because we see each person as one to whom we say, you know, I know somebody who is so fond of you, and I just need to tell you about him because he has embraced you and you don't even know about it. There's another song by I think it was written by Keith Green, but I love Phil Keaggy's version. Like a foolish dreamer trying to build a highway to the sky, all my dreams would come tumbling down and I never knew just why until today when you pulled away the clouds that hung like curtains before my eyes. I was blind all these wasted years, and I thought I was so wise until your love broke through. I was lost in a fantasy that blinded me until your love broke through. And I just think this passage, we have to go to the love of God that breaks through and not to the fear of, did I do the right thing? Mm-hmm. And to recognize just how much we are those who focus on ourselves and try and perform for God and miss the gospel is that God has already come in the person of Christ to us.
This God who is fond of us doesn't just embrace us at our best. He went all the way down and embraced us at our worst.
Yes.
And so then one of the great themes of Hebrews becomes once for all. But Marty, let's be honest. All doesn't mean all, does it? I mean, does God really know my Uncle Ralph? Is it all? And just tell us more about this recurring theme in this great book of Hebrews.
Yeah. Well, all is such a, for a three-letter word, it's really big. So, I mean, we believe that God created not only each human being, he created this earth, he created this solar system, he created this galaxy, he created the universe. It is all something that he's bigger and contains all of that within his love. So he doesn't not just know the hairs on your head or your Uncle Ralph. He knows the planets that we have no idea about. He knows all of that. And I mean, there is some evidence to say that Jesus dies for the whole cosmos, meaning the whole of the universe, of all of it. So the question, does he really mean once for all for you and me and Uncle Ralph? Yep. That is what is called a very inclusive love. You're included is a great word to say there is nothing that you could do or will do that would cause God to reject you, and there's nothing you could do to earn your love with him. It is the choice of God once for all to extend his love made visible in the person of Jesus Christ right into our human history, and so that we will have the ability to recognize this is not temporary. This is permanent. And it's not selective where he chooses some that he thinks, now they're really good looking or they perform well, but it's a complete kind of love that's beyond conditionality. The image in C.S. Lewis's The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe of the witch didn't know about the deeper magic from before the dawn of time. That was the once for all love that talks about when someone sacrifices for another, a forgiveness comes that goes beyond any measure of the law. And so the once for allness of Christ is that this historical event is just a glimpse for us into the majesty and might of the eternal God who once for all does completely what only God can do, and that is to restore us to himself in the face of, and I don't know if it blows your mind to think about however many billion people are on the earth who are going their own way. He sees all of them and their rebellion, and he says, for you, every day, every minute, 8 or 9 billion times, for you, I have come. For you, I left my father's side. For you, I came and brought you back to myself. You have no idea, but once for all means every second, every day, all of you.
I can't help but think of one of Torrance's great teaching, Tom, this is, and JB, of the vicarious nature of Jesus, that he is the perfect revelation of the Father to humanity, while also being the perfect response of humanity back to the Father in this double movement of grace that is at once at work for all of us, even in our wayward thinking. It is remarkable. The gospel is so scandalous, Marty.
Yes.
And Hebrews has a beautiful way of expressing it.